I love the season of Lent, which is a weird thing to say if you didn't grow up with it and your first exposure to it. It's a hard season. I was first introduced to Lent by St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Lubbock, Texas, where I was dating the daughter of the pastor. And I met that church through ski trips, and that's just kind of how it went. My group of friends, we just took ski trips with each other's churches. And because why not when you live that close to the mountains compared to here? I remember the first Lent I was in, I showed up, and, you know, we did Lent, and you talked about giving stuff up, and I don't even remember what I gave up the first time. But what I remember is that it's hard to be so intentional about your faith when you're not used to it. I mean, I grew up in church. We went when the doors were open. I sang in the children's choir until my voice got weird and went up and down a lot. There's a great video of me as the boy outside the manger where Jesus was born, wearing these super thick glasses and singing about the room in the inn. And right in the middle, my voice of this performance, my voice just does this. I hope my parents have burned the tapes, but I know they have not, because as an only child, there's like a shrine in my house to all the awesomeness that was me. You know, I grew up in church, but I didn't focus on how intentional you could be about your faith, how much it could really matter. You could go to church and you could be a Christian, but Lent was the season where you said, no, I'm going to pay attention to this, not on Sundays and Wednesdays, but every day. And it's a hard season. It's a cold season outside. Half the week here at least, the other half is warm, and that's its own problems, but I'm not judging the weather. It is what it is. Kathy Lee's teaching me to accept it. Jesus said, do not judge. We'll not judge the weather. So I invite you to really journey in this Lent. As hard as it may be, whatever else is going on, all the drama in your life that exists outside of this space, I want you to set it aside. I want you to forget about the stuff tugging at your attention, because that is what happens to us. So much tugs at our attention that it is difficult to focus on that which we proclaim has the greatest hold on our lives: Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected. That's what we say is most important, but sometimes other things distract us. This season of Lent, I hope that together we can journey with a renewed intentionality to the cross. We're going to journey this year predominantly through the Psalms. The theme throughout these 40 days will be singing to the cross, because these Psalms were songs. That's what they were. They served a cultic function, and let me unpack that and tell you what that means. It doesn't mean that they were in a cult. It means that in the Jewish religion, that these songs served functions. They were their hymns. They sang them at certain times. If you grew up in a non-Baptist church, or sometimes this church, depending on who was the music minister, you know when you sing the doxology, it's time for the money to get taken up, right? That's, doxology exists for money. It exists for God, and also for the transport of money in and out of the sanctuary. That's a cultic function. That's what that song does. The Psalms, Walter Brueggemann says, can really be divided in three categories: Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientation, and Psalms of reorientation, which means that, like our own lives, there are times when we feel like we have it figured out, and it takes a realization knowing that we don't have it figured out. It takes almost abject failure, hitting bottom, for us to be disoriented enough to be reoriented to a new way of life. The Psalms are profound and beautiful. They come from the one who is, predominantly, they come from the one who is described as having God's own heart, David. And they have the full range of human emotion. They take away our excuse that we can't do it. But this Sunday, the Psalms serve a particularly interesting function. The first Sunday of Lent always begins with the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by the tempter or by Satan or by the devil, depending on which version you're reading. It always begins on that first Sunday with that story. And in that story, this particular psalm is quoted, but here's where it gets interesting, not by Jesus. It is quoted by the devil. So, the first thing we could just set outside as a separate point is that simply knowing Scripture is not enough to make you a follower of the way of Christ. It doesn't matter how much you can quote. If you do not live and walk the walk and have the type of faith that relies solely on the grace of God. Jesus shows up in the wilderness and he is asked to do these three things: to feed himself when he's hungry, to worship the devil so that he can have all of the land and all the kingdoms underneath him, and then to test God by throwing himself off of the temple and being a spectacular Messiah. We live in a world that loves spectacle. Right? Before the great country of America, there was no such thing as pyrotechnics. Part of that just has to do with like technology. It has nothing to do with America. But, you know, man, who does not love fireworks? Who doesn't love a grand show with great music, with a really pumping beat to get you fired up about whatever it is somebody's trying to sell you? Themselves as a candidate? A sweet package deal for a timeshare? Whatever it is. They... I'm sorry, I just... Quinn was just laughing, and then he said, I don't even understand that. You're not alone, buddy. Don't worry. We live in an age that loves spectacle, but the one thing we need to take away from Jesus as he interprets this psalm is that we are not called to be people who favor spectacle over substance. We are to be substantive people. So what does that mean? Well, even though this psalm is quoted by Satan, there is something for us to learn here. There's some deeper meaning than the false meaning that Satan gives it, which is to throw yourself off the building and let those angels catch you. The meaning of this psalm is one of reorientation. Though we don't know historically what function it served in the tribe of Israel, one of the things we do know is that this is a psalm about where you belong. And we can speculate that this psalm was one that was used almost as a mantra, that was sung over and over until you could get it through your thick head that God was going to keep you safe. This song was an earworm. Now, until recently, I thought earworms were the things that Ricardo Montalban put in your ear in The Wrath of Khan, the second Star Trek movie, okay? Those were bad. You know what the worst earworm is that I have? I have a song I sing so frequently that I annoy myself. It's The Final Countdown. When something awesome happens, that's immediately what I respond with. It's The Final Countdown. Except sometimes I change that to The Final Count Frown for some reason. It's so annoying and it's stuck in my head all the time. It annoys me and those around me. Do you guys have these songs that are stuck in your head? Most of mine are from the like early 90s, late 80s. You know? From Karate Kid or Rocky. You're the best around. While you have the eye of the tiger. Stop and think for just a minute. How many of you wake up with a song in your head? Yeah. How many of you at some point in the day find yourself with some sort of song stuck that's just on repeat? How many of you listen to music some point in the day? How many of you hate all things musical? I was very tempted if one of you raised your hands to tell you to leave. Like, I just thought that would be kind of funny. You're not welcome. Everybody's welcome here. This is a safe space. Unless you hate music. I love that song that the choir sang today. Some of you, I can tell it's a deeply personal song. I saw you mouthing the words with them. Such a powerful song about the realization of how temporary life is here and how we belong somewhere else. But for most of us, that song gets drowned out throughout the week. We're more concerned about the final countdown or how we built this city on rock and roll. We're more concerned about having friends in low places, blaming it on our roots. We're more concerned about all these other songs, and the metaphor there is all this other noise that the world wants us to hear. We're more concerned about that than remembering the song that we belong to God. This is a psalm about protection. It's a psalm about the fact that you who call on the name of the Most High God, you're not even going to stub your toes on a rocky path. Sometimes when we're in the middle of stubbing our toes on a rocky path, it's difficult to sing that song. But it's pointing to a larger reality that despite the temporal and temporary setbacks we encounter and the very real struggles we have, which do exist and are valid and true, despite the problems we face, that we belong to someone who ultimately is redeeming us one day at a time. The tricky part is remembering that song in the midst of trying to impress the people around us, in the midst of trying to be the best simply because who doesn't want to be the best? In the midst of trying to please people and keep everybody at peace and make sure that everything is ordered perfectly in our lives and make sure that everything is dotted and crossed and to make sure, in the midst of all that, it is difficult to remember that there is a larger song being sung over our lives. That you are God's and God will keep you safe. Jesus is able to resist temptation to be something he is not because he listens to the right voice in his head. Jesus is able to resist temptation and to be the Messiah that we all need because he knows a deeper truth than the lie being whispered in his ear. Jesus knows where his home is, and his home is in God, his refuge and his strength. It is where our homes are too, even when we forget the address. As we enter the season of Lent, may we remember not only who we are and whose we are bearing ashes, but may we remember that our home is in God, and nothing can separate us from that. Amen.